Welcome to this RCGP podcast on respiratory syncytial virus. I'm Dr. Tony Hazel, GP and Deputy Medical Director for e-learning at the RCGP. Today, I'll be talking to Professor Simon de Lusignan, an academic GP with a particular interest in flu and other viral illnesses. Simon is Director of the RCGP Research and Surveillance Centre for Flu, which runs a digital hub called ORCID that has details on accessing flu surveillance data and supporting clinical trials. Thank you for joining us today, Simon.
Great to be here, and thanks for inviting me.
So, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, this is something that I always associate with children and bronchiolitis, but it does also affect older adults. Could you give us a bit of background on the virus and its clinical effects?
So, RSV is an RNA virus. It's a very common cause of respiratory tract infections, particularly through the autumn and up to the new year. And mostly RSV causes minor cold or coryza-like illnesses. However, RSV can also cause much more serious infections in young children and particularly in infants, but also in older adults. RSV infection in both these groups can result in hospital admission and is regrettably associated with mortality as well as morbidity. RSV can also, in older adults, cause serious illness, particularly in those with chronic medical conditions such as cardiovascular disease, asthma and COPD, or in those who are immunocompromised. One of the characteristics of the clinical illness, particularly in children under five with bronchitis and bronchiolitis, is that it causes wheeze. And it's one of two viruses that both start with an R that cause wheeze. One is rhinovirus, and the second, the one we're considering today, is RSV.
Thank you. So we talk about a flu season. Is RSV a similarly seasonal virus?
Yes, indeed. I alluded to this in my last answer, in that, and for those who are really interested in following it, on the Royal College GP's Research and Surveillance website, there's a link to our virology dashboard where you can look at this pattern and follow the viral pattern in the community week by week. RSV is seasonal. It largely precedes but often overlaps with flu. So RSV circulation is usually starts being recorded in September, builds up through October and November. It's often settling or receding by December, but occasionally will peak in the new year and carry on through to April. And so its peak is usually just ahead of where flu is starting to become more common in the winter.
Thank you. So in terms of treatment for RSV, obviously in primary care, we don't swab for the specific viruses as part of routine clinical care, but that does get done in hospital. Am I correct in my understanding that there are some specific treatments used in hospital, but nothing that we would use in primary care?
That's correct for community use, but there are both antiviral and monoclonal therapies available for RSV, but these would be initiated by and largely at the moment given by specialists. There's a ribavirin, which is an antiviral available for inhalation and as an intravenous infusion, but only used for life-threatening diseases in the hospital setting. Evidence for its effect is quite weak. Perhaps more exciting are the monoclonals. And palivizumab, a monoclonal antibody, is also available for prevention of severe lower respiratory infections caused by RSV in high groups. In the UK, it's recommended for the following groups: children born at 35 weeks or less gestation, and they would remain on it while they're under 6 months old to avoid the risks of RSV. There's then three groups of children who under 2 years old may also be given palivizumab. And these groups of under two-year-olds are those with bronchodysplasia that's been problematic in the previous 6 months, those with a hemodynamically significant congenital heart disease, and those with severe combined immunodeficiency syndrome. Perhaps excitingly, there's a newer a monoclonal called nirsevimab, and it is been promising in trials and received regulatory approval in the UK and is currently being evaluated for use in the NHS. It is possible that this monoclonal or another might be given routinely to babies to protect them against severe infant infection with RSV.
That is exciting, particularly if it could maybe reduce some of the bronchiolitis burden. So we might be seeing letters and things about some of these drugs, which obviously we don't use in primary care. Moving on to vaccination. So for a virus with such significant mortality, maybe it's surprising that we've never vaccinated against RSV, but that's about to change. Can you explain the cohorts for vaccination?
So the starting point is going to be older adults, and the vaccine is going to be offered as a single dose soon after the person's 75th birthday, and they'll remain eligible until their 80th birthday. There's intended to be a catch-up campaign this year, aiming to vaccinate as many in the 75 to 79 age group as possible. In general, adults will be eligible until the day before their 80th birthday. Fortunately, we have computers, so we don't have to remember these details, but for those who turn 80 in the first year of the new vaccination, they can be vaccinated up to the 31st of August 2025. So there's a bit of leeway for those close to 80. Pregnant women will be offered the vaccine from the 28th week of pregnancy, with the intention that the antibodies that cross the placenta will offer protection to their newborn. The current recommendation is this pregnancy vaccine is given separately from pertussis. Pertussis is given about the 20th week, and at the moment there's some weak evidence that co-administration may lead to less vaccine effectiveness, but this is one of these things to keep an eye on. The literature may change in future. Vaccination will be given in primary care by general practices and some community pharmacists, and excitingly, it's due to start from September this year, September 2024.
That's fantastic. It'll be great to have that extra protection. And of course, as always with vaccination, if people have got any questions or queries, then the Green Book is really the gold standard reference, and that would be the place to look. So to finish off, RSV is one virus that causes respiratory illness, and there are, of course, others, including flu. You're the director of the RCGP Research and Surveillance Centre, the RSC, and we have you to thank for the fact that we get informed if flu is circulating. Could you tell me a bit more about the work of the RSC, and if a GP listening is interested in becoming a sentinel practice which reports to you, how would they go about it?
We have a fantastic group of practices in the network, GP colleagues from now just over 2,000 practices who are willing to share data with us for our important surveillance work. Practices who join the RSC can just choose to share pseudonymized data or volunteer to additionally take samples or get involved in our research studies. One of the most important things for virology are the practices who take virology swabs from patients of all ages presenting with acute respiratory infection. And this is our principal sampling activity and enables us to know about circulating viruses. The swabs are tested for a panel of viruses, COVID, influenza, RSV are those of greatest interest. Practices like virology sampling, as the results, even though they take a few days to come through, are helpful in confirming the viral etiology of disease and help with antimicrobial stewardship. And we get quite a lot of positive feedback on this point. We're also involved in the collection of serology samplings. Sampling from children is of greatest interest, and this involves collecting an additional blood sample when a child or adult attends for a blood test. New members are always welcome. We have an email contact of practice inquiries at phc.ox.ac.uk, or feel free to look me up. My email is readily available on the University of Oxford website if you'd like to be in touch about finding out more or joining the RSC.
Fantastic. Hopefully you might get a few more inquiries after this podcast. I think that's all we've got time for today. So I'd like to say a big thank you to Professor Simon de Lusignan for joining us to discuss RSV. Thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed this RCGP podcast, then please have a look at the e-learning website to find others on a variety of subjects. Thank you and goodbye.